This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. And we are talking this segment about an international holiday that you've probably never heard of. It's happening this Sunday, the 17th of January, and it is called Art's Birthday. To talk about it, I would like to welcome Rita Bard, who is an artist and she's organizer of Art's Birthday here in Santa Fe, and Catherine M. Davis, art historian and host of Art Beat on KVSF here in Santa Fe. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's good to be here.
Great to have you. Now, what is Art's Birthday? This is a holiday that was kind of made up, but it's caught on.
I'll start with the details, but Rita is the one who came to me and suggested that we have this holiday here in Santa Fe for the very first time in Santa Fe. And so she's the gal with the ideas, and she's really done almost all of the organizational work, and she's just been fantastic. So what we're doing here is we have partnered up with Axel Contemporary. The Silver Van will be on Sunday, which is Art's Birthday, and we'll explain why Sunday, January 17th, later in the show. But we will be in the Axel Van, and you can always find them at axelart.com or look them up on Facebook at Axel Contemporary. We will be in that van serving free birthday cake to the public from noon to 4 out in front of the New Mexico Museum of Art. They've been very kind to allow us to use their electrical outlets and that sort of thing. So free birthday cakes, performances by artists including Melody Sumner Carnahan, Hannah Hughes, the Greg Butera Trio will play music from 1 to 2, and we've got an open mic, and we're going to be making Art's Birthday hats.
So yes. We'll kind of recap that a little bit at the end, but I wanted to ask you, I mean, how did this event come about in the first place?
Well, actually, you know, I was just, I stumbled upon it actually on the internet somewhere along the line, and I saw it and I just clicked on it and started reading a little bit, and it sounded so interesting and fascinating. Just the idea hit me right away. And this Fluxus artist that's originally French, he designated his birthday, I think it was in 1963, as Art's Birthday, when art was born. And he said it happened by a sponge dropping into a bucket. And that's how it happened, you know, obviously.
Yes, back in the ancient cave buckets with the ancient cave sponges.
Right, exactly, a million years ago then. And that's
when they had plastic buckets.
Yes, exactly. And I just thought it was a great concept. It seemed so freeing, and I like it. It's irreverent, but funny and serious and everything. And I just really loved the idea when I read about it.
And so since then, it's really caught on, the idea, and it does give rise to all these questions about the origin of art mm-hmm. in the first place.
Yes.
and what we even mean when we say art and what art is in society now. What are some of the ways that it's being celebrated around the world?
Ooh, good question. And I'm not as clear about that as you are, Rita.
I think it is a very loose connection of all kinds of different artists, a lot of Fluxus artists, and also a big part of it now since the 1970s, it has been the new media, the emails, the, you know, the videos we have now, all of these, this kind of technology, because they like it to be very mobile. They say that art has no specific place anymore, so it's all interconnected and interrelated. And that's, I think, very important. One very big part of this Art's Birthday is that you send then your gifts, if they're visual or a play or a poem or music, you can then stream that to other birthdays around the world and likewise pick their things up. And I don't think there is one a specific city that stays with it all the time. They just jump around. Whoever wants to jump in, jumps in for a year, 2 years, jumps out. You know, it's very, it's just a free, very free format.
And it's definitely happening all around the world. And I think the best place to go to find out what's going on, because they've posted everything on the website, the Granddaddy website, is artsbirthday.net. You'll find the Arts Birthday Santa Fe on there. You'll find the instructions for making birthday hats.
The hat which we'll was, be making. Yes.
Which was Robert Filiu's idea when he first decided that Art's birthday was coincidentally the same as his.
Coincidentally.
It was a coincidence. That's how we decided on June 17th because
January,
January 17th because good old Robert was born that day.
And the hats are those little kind of paper hats that you might have folded when you were in first grade.
Right. Those newspaper hats. Newspaper boat hats, I call them.
And I'm going to have we're going to have a stack of that, like 100 pages of that, and then so anyone who wants to make their hat, we're going to have decorations, stamps, Art's Birthday Santa Fe for it. And in addition, after you make the hat, they are asking on this particular website, on this Art's Birthday, that you take a photo of yourself and send it, and we'll have the website address where you send the picture with your hat or wherever you want to take a picture of the hat that you've just made.
There's also some kind of radio station in Vienna, Austria called Kunstradio Vienna, Art Radio Vienna,
good accent.
Which is doing a lot of broadcasting of that, of Art's Birthday. So I'm sure that that also can be streamed at the Art's Birthday website.
We are definitely looking into that to get these connections. And Kunstradio was one of them. And there's one, I think, in maybe Tokyo, somewhere in Japan, and in Antwerp, and in, I'm trying to think of the other cities. There's actually one in Prescott, Arizona, which I thought was really interesting, and several in Canada that we're going to try to connect with. But it all depends. I've emailed some of these people to get me their link if they're going to archive, because the time difference.
Right.
There's only a few that we can get actually at the same time.
Right.
That will be probably the ones in Canada and Prescott. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're going to have to have been archived.
So let's talk about, I mean, this fellow who started this whole thing, Art's Birthday, on his birthday, Robert Filiu, was a Fluxus artist. Now, what is the Fluxus movement all about? Probably some of our listeners have never heard that term. I mean, you might have heard of expressionism or impressionism or abstraction or cubism or whatever, but what's Fluxus?
Well, Fluxus, I'm going to kind of give an art historian's perspective here because that's my thing. Fluxus began in the early 1960s. It's definitely a post or a neo-Dada movement. It was very much inspired by Dadaism. And if you think of Dada, most people do know Dada and often will think of either the painting by Marcel Duchamp, Nude Descending a Staircase, which showed in the Armory Show in New York in 1913 and really got American modernism started, or even more commonly known as a Dada work of art is Marcel Duchamp's urinal, which he placed upside down. It was brand new, by the way, never used. And he put it upside down in 1917 and called it Fountain. But Dada was really an anti-art movement. They really came up with the idea that, for example, what Marcel Duchamp disdainfully called retinal art, which meant art that was pleasing to the eye, that hung on a wall and was, or was a sculpture behind a vitrine. They had no fondness for that. They wanted art to be made of everyday materials, hence the term ready-mades. The fountain, the urinal turned upside down, is a ready-made. So they're getting away from the idea that the artist is a genius and only that particular artist could have ever come up with the idea and executed it so skillfully. They're moving away from the idea of craftsmanship and optical design and all of the things that really were what we considered art. So this anti-art sentiment was very pervasive in the early 20th century. And I found from teaching art history at colleges that it's still very pervasive. Students are very interested in this idea of how do we get away from going to museums, which, you know, the inventor of Fluxus thought was such a mummifying experience. So art moves from being something that is very separate from us and our everyday lives and patronized by the wealthy, which of course it still is, but it becomes more of an attitude. In fact, if you want to hear it at some point, Mary Charlotte, I actually have a list of what Fluxus was as it developed out of the influence of Dada.
So this idea of Dada, let's just stay with that for a moment, because it seems, I think, to many of our listeners, completely bizarre that you would not want to have an art that's based in craft.
Mm.
You know, I mean, so many artists who have the great privilege of having a gift to be able to draw or sculpt or whatever it is, or dance or whatever it is they're drawn to, you spend your whole life refining your craft.
Right.
Why throw that out?
That is a very good question, and it's something that many, many viewers of arts continue to have a very difficult time with. And I'm not saying that we need to throw craftsmanship out. I personally adore, for example, drawings. Little detailed drawings just kill me. I love them. Paintings, great paintings actually make me salivate. That's how I know I love a great painting, because I start going, I want to eat that painting. It's so yummy. So I love craftsmanship. I love art on the walls. I love sculptures. Michelangelo's David, am I going to throw that out of my house? I don't think so. It's amazing. It's gorgeous. But what Duchamp was saying was that that is not the only way that we can experience art. We can experience art as a way of living, a way of looking at life. And also, no matter what he might have said, Duchamp, in fact, he said that he quit making art in the 60s and was just playing chess. The fact of the matter was that he continued to make a work of art until his dying days. It was discovered after he died. And it's a gorgeous work of art. And a lot of the bigger pieces that Duchamp made that aren't just ready-mades, but are, let's say, adjusted ready-mades, like he takes a piece of glass and it breaks and he says, oh, that's perfect now. There's a sense of design there. And Robert Rauschenberg, same thing with him. He crams a tire on an old Angora goat with its face bashed in and turns that into what he called a combine. But he had a magnificent sense of design. So there still is a little retinality to it. Sorry, Marcel's ghost. But these guys knew how to make things look good, to present them in a way that was just compelling.
Well, and I think that's one of the ironies of any kind of art movement that has a manifesto. It's always going to contradict itself, or often going to contradict itself, because these things were made by people who could, you know, draw any of us into, I mean, they're, you know, who are much better craftspeople than almost anybody else ever would be. And right. Their rejection of it, you know, did they say, we're rejecting the museum and gallery system and craftsmanship and visual art and so on. But they were in museums. They were in galleries. Mm-hmm. That's where they ended up.
Absolutely. In fact, that's where Marcel Duchamp's large glass piece, the piece about the bride mm-hmm. and her suitors, that was actually broken when it was being moved in a museum. And I think I can't remember my date, but I'm thinking like in the 20s. Marcel, can you imagine you broke a Marcel Duchamp piece in a museum and your job is to handle art? I mean, how
Whoops.
Do you feel? Yeah, like I'm getting fired for sure. So everybody anxiously awaits Duchamp's entry into the museum when he's going to see this accident that occurred to his piece. And he really did say, I like it better now. Now it's complete.
Have you seen the original piece in Philadelphia? Because it is. And I can't imagine it without these beautiful, graceful arcs. It would have that added so much dimension to this mm-hmm. wonderful piece. So he's absolutely right. And I think that happens in so many ways in life. These happenstance, this kind of randomness. And I think the Fluxus movement was kind of recognizing part of that and wanting to move away from everything having to be taught, that you could invite some of that randomness and use it. And it became a reflection. Your art became more of a reflection of life then in mm-hmm. a certain way. And I think that was very important to them. Plus, the whole world was changing then, you know, and they were right. trying to pull these ideas in.
And there is something about not necessarily completely letting go of control, but letting go of control enough to be responding to and yes. kind yes, of engaged absolutely. In a dialogue with whatever the art piece is.
Absolutely.
Art begins to be understood as the process itself, and that's really big for Fluxus. They did not place as much importance on the so-called end result, the art object. And it took Dada at the beginning to really, for Marcel Duchamp, for example, to put a bicycle wheel upside down on a table and present that as a work of art for people to say, okay, so whether we like it or not, apparently art isn't about craftsmanship. But I do want to make this one point. Franz Klein, who was known in the abstract expressionist movement for making his big gestural black on white, almost calligraphic paintings, very beautiful, but totally non-representational, he went to art school and he studied classical draftsmanship and painting. He knew how. It wasn't a question of he couldn't do it. It was a question of he chose not to.
Are there people who collect like early Franz Klein pieces where he's actually, where you can see his drawing chops?
I don't know of any. There must be, but it's hard to find any Franz Klein that's representational. But yeah, that'd be fun to look for.
That would be really fun to see.
Mm-hmm. So what we have with Fluxus then is the founder of Fluxus was, his name was George Masiunas, and he started the movement. He was an art historian, as a matter of fact, and he wanted to call it post-Dada or neo-Dada. But one of the original Dada artists in the U.S. said, that doesn't really say anything. Let's call it something else. And so Masiunas decided to call it Fluxus, from one of the roots to flow. And it's all about the process of art and how it flows, not the object, and not particularly not. This is an anti-establishment thing. It's a movement that starts in the 60s. And of course, we have Filieu in France and Masiunas, who I don't remember where he's born, but his family moved to New York. So it's Fluxus is beginning to go on the East Coast and in Europe. And it's very anti-establishment. And again, back to the idea of change, it's hugely affected by John Cage mm-hmm. and the music that the scores that he proposed based on ambient sound. One of his more famous pieces is 433, which was played at the Black Mountain School in Asheville, North Carolina in the 50s. In which the pianist would sit down in front of the piano, raise his or her hands as if ready to play, and then just stay like that for 4 movements. And
4 minutes.
The movements were divided. I think it was maybe 3 movements that happened within 4 minutes and 33 seconds.
They actually called them movements? I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah, it had different movements. And, people were dancing around in the original one. People were dancing around. There was a little dog following one of the dancers, barking excitedly. Robert Rauschenberg was throwing images from works of his up on a white sheet on the wall. And if you coughed or sneezed or whispered off in the audience, that was part of the piece.
Part of the piece, yeah.
So it's all about chance.
And it's all about sort of high concept. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are just a regular person and you walk into a concert hall and the person lifts their hands up and doesn't play anything, you want your money back.
Right. Right. Well, exactly. And the very first time that 433 was performed, it was at Black Mountain College, which was an amazing art school that unfortunately doesn't exist as an art school anymore. But yeah, they were students. They were up for, this is the beat era, and these guys are up to something hip, cats. They don't want the usual. And they're reacting against the masculine genius of the abstract expressionist first generation.
So all of this, I mean, anti-establishment art defines itself in relationship to whatever the establishment is. And
right.
So it's sort of like that's the negative of whatever the positive is, or vice versa. And the establishment at that time, the 1950s, was this sort of like massive industrialization, post-war, military-industrial complex in its early years kind mm-hmm. of world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And abstract expressionism, or the New York school, was king. And artists are wondering, well, that's been done. What am I going to do? So Jasper Johns and Robert Rauschenberg kind of bridged the gap between the abstract expressionists and the pop art scene that's going to spring up in the 1960s. We have artists making, such as Bridget O'Reilly, making optical art called op art that's entirely retinal, as opposed to what Marcel Duchamp was doing. Excuse me. So the bottom line is that there's always a reaction. You see that in fashion, you know, how
Absolutely.
Long we've had skinny jeans again. So it's no surprise that we're going with palazzo pants this
yes.
year.
I think right. it's just human nature to always want to do the other and push the boundaries and try to see things differently. You know, every generation goes through a certain amount of that and a reaction to the change in history and the world around them. You know, as always.
Right. And so all of this gives rise to the concept of art's birthday, which we're talking
exactly.
about with Catherine M. Davis and Rita Bard today. And it really, I think, is a kind of wonderful opportunity not only to hang out at the Axel Art Van and eat cake and wear paper hats and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
With Jerry and Matthew.
With
yes.
Jerry and Matthew and
yes.
everybody else who feels like going over there. But also to reflect on, I think, you know, what art means to you, because for my entire lifetime and probably since, I don't know how long, maybe Catherine, you as an art historian can tell us this, but the idea that art is something bigger than you are and it's hanging mm-hmm. on the wall and you probably don't understand it or you need a PhD to even enter it or whatever, or that it's associated with a class, and so there's like elitist art and then there's lowbrow art and all that, which is kind of gone away a little bit now. We don't have so much of that. I mean, everybody's into everything now and a lot of boundaries have been crossed at the point where they don't exist anymore. But I think that there's so many ways to think about one's own mm-hmm. contribution and one's own creativity, whether or not one is actually a working artist. But even in the way people use language or cook, there is a lot of art and, yes, a lot of craft for which I have a personal respect. I actually respect people who are great craftspeople more than conceptual artists, even if the concept was fabulous. It's not mm-hmm. that stuff isn't as interesting.
Right. Well, for me personally, I got into art in a backwards way. I was working with an artist. I was his assistant and, of course, also living with him. And I kept asking him, like, how do people know if art is good? And I had this idea that there was something inherent to an artwork that most of us whose souls or eyeballs are open enough can get. Which now I no longer believe, but we traveled extensively in Mexico and I realized how much I love what we call still folk art. I love the craftsmanship of it. I love the colors. They're colors that seem like they don't go together, but you actually do find them in nature. So that was my entry point. And that, because it wasn't, I didn't originally start out saying, I adore Raphael and Renaissance art, therefore I will never think that anything else is any good. I kind of came in the back door into the ideas of aesthetics and the philosophy of art via the vehicle of folk art. And so what I really think now, and you've alluded to this, Mary Charlotte, is that an artful life is possible by paying attention. There are some prerequisites to it, and I'm not making a manifesto here, people, but I think paying attention to life is an artful way of living it. It's almost poetry in action.
And there can be a real authenticity and humility to it, because you're not even pretending to do anything that's going to last.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's also very Fluxus-like. And the fact that we're so comfortable with that idea that art doesn't have to last forever comes directly out of Fluxus.
Very interesting.
And I think that art can have many branches. I don't think it has to be one idea, that people get really hung up on that. And you can love Renaissance art. You can love folk art. You can mm-hmm. love decorative art. You can love Fluxus art, the conceptual artist. Why does it have to be defined only as this one concept, this one
right.
way of seeing something? I mean, that all those ideas are changing, that there's only one way to see something. I mean, we're finally kind of understanding that that is just not so. And I think that thought that there's only one way of seeing something has been part of, you know, humans' misfortunes for a long time.
Mm, right. Any kind of fundamentalism. Yeah.
Yes, it has to open up a lot. And I think art is kind of always a little bit at the forefront of that concept. You know, I don't think they were thinking that they had to be, but kind of intuitively, mm-hmm. it just kind of emerges, you know, and that goes along with poetry and great literature and dancing and all those things. It's all included in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, originally, I think you, Rita, had put out a call for people, for artists to make birthday cakes.
Yes, that was the original idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sort of morphed into a kind of more general celebration this Sunday, the 17th mm-hmm. of January. But people are still welcome to make and bring arts birthday cakes. And they can be very simple or as elaborate as you want. You could make a
cupcake
in the shape of
a
birthday candle.
Yeah, in the shape of a candle.
Or a cake in the shape of pie. I've seen that.
or your favorite artwork or part of your favorite artwork. Anything goes, just as long as people can enjoy it.
And you can bring that to be shared. So Art's Birthday Party is happening this Sunday, the 17th of January, all over the world. But here in Santa Fe, it's from noon to 4 at the New Mexico Museum of Art, which is right on the northwest corner of the mm-hmm. Santa Fe Plaza. And there will be several artists there. There will be live music from 1 to 2. There will be an open mic at different times for poems and songs and anything you want to really talk about. Little hat making for the kids and adults, too, if they want to make their own hats. And if people want more information, they can go to Axel Art, because Axel Art is this wonderful mobile art gallery in an old Twinkie van mm-hmm. that they've converted into an art gallery. It's just amazing how much they can pack into that little small space.
I love those guys. Shout out to Matthew Chase Daniel
and Jerry Wellman.
Jerry Wellman
yes,
for
absolutely.
Doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So their website is Axel Art, AXLEART.com. You can also go to artsbirthday.net and facebook.com/artsbirthdaysantafe. So anything else you want to let people know about before we go?
If you want to make a cake, the notion has just struck you and you have to make a cake, get in touch with us at our email addresses. Rita, what's yours?
Oh, RitaBard@comcast.net. Sorry about that.
Rita,
thinking about art.
Right. RitaBard@comcast.net.
Yes,
And you can also write to Catherine at artbeat@santafe.com.
Correct.
Catherine M. Davis is an art historian. Rita Bard is an artist, and she's the organizer of Arts Birthday Santa Fe. We will see you this Sunday.
Yes,
we're really looking
seeing everybody.
To it.
Yes, and again, please come.
Thanks, Rita, for coming up with this great idea.
And thank you, Catherine, Mary Charlotte, and everyone. It's been fabulous.
Excellent. Thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe. Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.